And then the question was asked about emejiku kanungyo, that the words en means to extend, or to extend life. Ne is life, and jiku means 10 lines. So it's the 10 lines to of how is it translated usually?
I know it is life prolonging.
So, the 10 lines to prolonging life or something like that. And then Rasama chanted each line, remember, very boomingly. And then he started to talk. He said that said that life is from the first eternal. So don't think, you know, you're not thinking of, by chanting this, your life becomes longer, because your life is eternal. The life of all beings is eternal. With regard to both time and space, life is eternal. But we don't understand this. Birth seems to end in death, so ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Then there are only a few bones remaining, and these bones can't enjoy eating food and drinking tea. So it seems to be the end of our life, doesn't it? But no matter how it appears, with our deluded thinking, life is eternal. And when this becomes evident, when this becomes clear, then what we know is this: vast like the skies, nothing in excess, nothing lacking. Life. Everyone is eternal life. Oh man, I'm sorry. Started before. It's last week's. And this is the essence of life. But you may say, okay, you know, I hear these words about life being eternal, but I just don't see it. That's not the way I see life. I see life as you're born and you die, and this is life. And anyway, I'm often miserable. I can't seem to get it together. So this is something I want to continue. I want to keep living like this. No, of course not. You want to keep living with an awareness of life as it truly is. You want to keep living with peace of mind. Life, true life as it is. You will keep true life as it is, because all is good. All is well, no matter what happens. Why? Because life is perfect merit, absolute virtue. We also call this Buddha nature. We also call this Buddha nature, or fundamental nature. But no one realizes this. So we follow the teaching and the practice that the Buddhas and the ancestors have laid down for us. And through their practice, the Buddhas and the ancestors attained awakening, and we continue practice just as we've been shown by the Buddhas and the ancestors. People just can't seem to help from falling into this question. But what about me? How could I possibly, as messed up as I seem to be, as many desires as dualistically as I see, how could I possibly be eternal life, and how could I possibly awaken to it? You can awaken to it no matter how messed up you think you are, because from the beginning you are Buddha nature and nothing but Buddha nature. So of course you can come to see it as it is. We don't see it because we're looking away from truth. So what we're here doing in our practice is to awaken from the deluded dream of myself. You must be able to, from the first, understand you're grasping a sense of self, aren't you? This describes your daily life, day in and day out, looking away and grasping a me which is attached to this body. So please be able to say, yes, I do have this attachment. Yes, I am attached to a sense of self. Of course, that sense of self is a delusion. In essence, you are a perfect virtue. And just as when we walk, we put the right foot forward, the left foot forward, the right foot forward, the left foot forward. With each step we take is the step of true nature. We are never apart from true nature. We're forever protected by true nature. We're forever guided by true nature. Carrying nothing, before judgments, before trying to figure it out, before making evaluations of good or bad, true nature is now and here, before, beyond evaluations. Perfect truth, yourself. Perfect merit, holding nothing, grasping nothing. And neither do we fall into the deluded pattern of nihilism, where we say there is nothing special to grasp, there is nothing. Falling into neither that nor into brute attachment, we are just exactly as we are, true life. How can we grasp what does not exist? There is no I, no me, no mine, no solidity, no myself, not so much as a hair of me. So what is there then? When I saw that which I had thought to be, when I saw that in truth it isn't, when I saw that my whole idea of reality was completely deluded, then, at that time, what I never could have imagined to be reality suddenly revealed itself. Grasping me is not bad and not good, but it causes suffering. It's like the hand and foot being in battle. In truth, we all are one. Everything is one, working together in perfect harmony, getting along. All the myriad things, one body. The myriad things becomes the hand, becomes the foot. But all is one, one body. So we chant Kanze Om, and then Narasimha chanted the whole thing again the other day. Kanze Om, the sound of Kanon. All is the sound of truth. Everything which is heard, everything which is not heard in truth, but everything which we hear now is the sound of truth. I receive this one by one. This truth, one with this, one with this. This is the sound of Kanon. All being is Buddha. All Buddha, only Buddha. Where is there any competition? All is one, all is your life. This we call Buddha. And it is revealed in the Dharma. So what the, it's Kanze Onnam. First it mentions Buddha and Dharma.
It says origin in Buddha, and then connection with Buddha, and then connection with Dharma and Sangha.
Uh-huh. So he's talking about those lines now, and he says, we call this Buddha, and Buddha is the essence. It's what we what all being essentially is. So if there is an essence, then of course this essence is revealed. This is Dharma. The revelation of Buddha is Dharma. All the many things, everything we see is Dharma, Buddha Dharma, revealed always now, in this day, this morning, this evening. This day, always. And where there is Dharma, then all being will be functioning. So all being is Buddha working, the working of Buddha. That's Sangha. We compare everything and line it up and make comparisons. But in truth, all is Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. In essence, all is perfect tranquility, freedom, total freedom. Your essence is freedom. Your essence, as you are now, is freedom. It's never destroyed. It's never harmed. Always pure. Today is the sound of Kanon. Tomorrow, the sound of Kanon. morning, noon, night, always and forever, universal truth, true self. There is no distance. All being is one being, eternal, together one. So, Jiku Kanun Gyo is you yourself. That's the most direct answer to your question. Jiku Kanun Gyo is you yourself. You, just. All is one, not two, not separate. If there is essence, it is revealed, Dharma. There is functioning, Sangha. How wonderful, how blessed we can be for this. Yesterday, I received a letter from someone whose mother was very ill and in the hospital dying. And sometimes they think she's getting better, but then she slides down again. And this person said that we're chanting the Kanon Gyo for the Emmejiku Kanon Gyo day all the time for her. And we will continue. The doctor says now she's better, now she's not. Tomorrow the doctor will give us more details about what's going on with our mother. But no matter what, we're just going to continue chanting the Enmejiku Kanon Gyo, no matter what. This is the spirit of Jiku Kanon Gyo, just this. Beginning with Kanzeon. If you can hear this, if you can hear this, the sound of Buddha, then you know that you have it all. And today, Orson said that someone asked about the Mumunkan, the Gateless Gate, comments, commentary by Yasutani Roshi. I don't know if you know who he is, but anyway, he was the guy said, but it's written there very clearly, and there are so many comments on the Gateless Gate, but should we as practitioners be reading this? I mean, since we're practicing it, should we be reading this stuff? And Ursula said, it's better not to ask, is it all right for a practitioner to be reading this book, or is it all right for me to be reading this book? And that's because for 100 people practicing, there will be 100 different, though each one will be in a different place, and each will be interpreting it differently, and each will be at a different level of practice, a different opening. Rusev said that he'd heard that Yasutani Roshi had many American disciples, and he mentioned, you know, meeting him throughout at various times, but he was much older than Rusev, so he came to Dayan Rusama's 88th birthday ceremony, and he was talking about doing that, and he met him other times too. And once he was asked to work with him, but Rusama said had to decline the offer because he wanted to stay beside Dayan Rishi. So he said, we both practiced under the same teacher, but I've not read his writings carefully. So I'm in no way making a comment on his writings as such. If I were asked this question by one of my own disciples, I would know how to answer each and every one of you, because I know where you are, and I could answer accordingly. It depends on the person. So he told him to ask in Doksan, the question of Doksan, and because it's a very individual thing. And then someone else said, may I ask a question? Is it all right if I ask a question? And someone said, no, it's not all right. And he asked, do you know why I say it's not all right? Would be really wonderful if you would just open up your heart and hear and just practice the teaching as it's given you. But everybody's always got questions, brewing, brewing, bubbling, and brewing. So in that sense, it's not all right. But, you know, he's not saying don't ask questions, okay? But, you know, people...